Genesis 24, verses 29 through 58. These are God's words. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went into the man. But he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, O blessed of Yahweh. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels, and provided straw and feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. Yahweh has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male and female servants and camel and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son.' And I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'Yahweh, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this earth when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath.' From this day I came to the well, and I said, 'O Yahweh, God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, "Please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink," she says to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom Yahweh has appointed for my master's son." But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. She went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, "Please let me drink." And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels a drink also." Then I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, named her son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the nose ring on her nose and bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed my head and worshipped Yahweh and blessed Yahweh, God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing comes from Yahweh. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go. Let her be your master's son's wife, as Yahweh has spoken." And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshipped Yahweh, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since Yahweh has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." And so they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And so they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And, oh, I read past, we read into verse 59. We're going to take those back up in a few months and we'll come back to Genesis 24. Okay, so again in verse 52, you see the servant bowing himself, praising Yahweh. The Lord has provided not only the kind of woman that is needed, but also, you know, that was a big question from the beginning.
The servant had asked Abraham, remember when Abraham was making him swear, and the servant had asked Abraham, what if she is not willing? That's a big question now. Will she be willing, and will they be willing to send her? And the answer ends up being yes. And we see something here that is something that the Lord had in place, both in preparing Rebecca, that she would be the kind of godly woman that she needed to be for Isaac, and preparing the family to operate in a way that could release her well into the servant's care in order to be carried off to be a wife for Isaac. And what we see is that there is godly family leadership in place, both preparing her and enabling her to be released to the servant's care. Now, we see at least three things that were part of this godly family leadership that God had been using in the discipling and growing and preparing of Rebecca, and the way this family operated so that she could be released in a glad and appropriate way into the servant's care. We see communication. Okay, we see consideration, and we see consecration. Okay, first thing is communication. This is the family who talk to each other. In particular, this is a sister who gives a report to the family. The family discusses things. Seems like Bethuel is maybe on his last legs, even when he gives an answer in verse 50. He gives that answer along with Laban, and Laban is probably the mouthpiece there, even though they still, at whatever Bethuel's advanced age and inability are, have him involved there. But Rebecca comes and she gives her family a report. New King James just says thus, but it's thus and so, the man spoke to me. Okay? The reason that the thus and so are important, because the thus and so indicates, implies a full report, from Rebecca of everything that had happened. So there's communication from Rebecca to them. There seems to be some kind of communication within the family. Notice that her brother and her mother are the ones who come up with the request for the 10 days. And there's even communication when it comes to whether or not to send her right away. Communication back with her, inquiring, consulting, literally her mouth. We will ask her mouth, they said. It's an important part of godly family leadership, because in godly family leadership and in a biblically structured family, there is strong authority. There's clear headship. There's not just submission, but obedience on the part of the wife and the children. And if you have that submission and that obedience, if there isn't communication that goes both ways, if there isn't consultation, then that is something that the sin in the flesh of every one of us takes advantage of and makes the family a miserable place. So without this communication that is part of loving one another as we love ourselves, then just having the external structures that the Bible puts in place becomes something that is miserable and not something that is beneficial. So we do see the kind of communication that mitigates that. Later on, we'll see Laban's family, when it's just Laban and obviously Bethuel is gone, does not have the same level of communication and is kind of miserable. And then sadly, Isaac and Rebecca, who both start out so well, especially some of the things we're going to see about Isaac at the end of this chapter and then in the next chapter. Later on, when they are elderly and the boys are grown, the communication in the family has completely broken down. And it is a miserable situation for everyone involved. Okay, so first thing is communication, then consideration. Just like Laban knows the way to Abraham's servant's heart with, come in, O blessed of Yahweh, and the thing is from Yahweh, cannot tell you yes or no. So also Abraham's servant knows the way to Laban's heart. And he tells him of all the great wealth of his master Abraham. And then he says, and when he was old, he finally had one son. And to that one son, he has given all that he has. Okay, so the servant knows the way to Laban's heart. Maybe he doesn't know Laban's character entirely yet. But one thing that he does know, because at the very least, he knows that Laban should be considered for Rebekah's love, because that's going to, if we release her into this man's care and send her halfway across the known world at the time, will she be well cared for? And also, you could see their consideration for her in consulting her when it was time to go. And then if we were to go on, I guess I stopped a little bit early, but... when they send her with the 10 maids. No, that was in our passage, right? Her nurse and her maids were 61. I've missed it. Why can't I see it? It's not just, it doesn't say the number of the maids. That's why I couldn't see it. But you see, in addition to her nurse in verse 59, they're going to send her away with her maids, her maidservants in verse 61. Okay, so they actually give up a fair amount of what their family needed. Rebecca was the one who took the sheep to the well and who had them watered. And Rebecca's maidservants would have been a big part of what helped the household run. But they have great consideration for her. They're willing to give up much to give her and her new husband, who I would assume has many servants and maidservants, but they want her to have a good start in life. And they want her to have some of these companions with whom she had grown up. So they have consideration for her earthly needs. They have consideration even for her social, mental, emotional, and probably spiritual needs. Another thing is much easier for a wife, my dear boys who want to be godly husbands one day, much easier for your sons and daughters, my dear children who want to be parents someday, much easier for them to submit and cheerfully serve if they know that you are watching out for their needs, their earthly needs, their physical needs, their mental, emotional, spiritual, social, everything. If they know that you are watching out for them, that frees them to be cheerful under your headship. So both of those things have been a very important part of the family leadership, the family environment that God provided for Rebecca, in which she would grow to be the godly woman who was ready for, prepared for Isaac, and in which she could be released to get married to Isaac in a wise and faithful way. And the last thing I said we see here is consecration. Consecration. Again, this is something that Laban knows should be true and at least outwardly is doing, and we should try not to judge his motives or his heart. Give him the judgment of charity. Lots of scoundrels in the church. There's scoundrel-looking people that we yet, by Scripture, have to give a judgment of charity when considering them and interacting with them. But he at least knows he should be thinking things like, come in, O blessed of Yahweh. Yahweh is the one who gives us all good things. Or, it comes from Yahweh. We cannot say anything good or bad. Not only is the Lord the one who gives us all good, gives us everything, but everything we do is an assignment from Him. So whatever God says, we don't get to make judgments whether it's good or bad. We just have to do it. Right? Lots of people. Very weird things. Well, not weird, because we're all wicked and rebellious. we read in the Bible, and it's pretty clear in the Bible how it says we're supposed to operate. And they feel very free to say things. Oh, I agree with that. Well, who cares if you agree with it? You're supposed to obey it. Even worse is, I don't think I agree with that. Well, who are you to disagree with it, and why does it matter? You have to do it. He's gone. Okay, so receiving everything as a blessing from him, receiving every moment and circumstance and task as an assignment for him. Consecration, this devotion unto God with the life. And you can see the overflow of that devotion, at least from Abraham's servant, as he falls down and worships Yahweh, bowing himself to the earth. In verse 52, he also, you know, Yahweh has prospered my way. He doesn't say, you have prospered me. Yahweh has prospered me. And you can see that that the main thing that rules his whole life, and that Laban and their family know ought to rule their life, whether it does or not. We don't need to make a judgment on that. We know at least that they know it ought to, is that they would receive everything as a gift from the Lord, and all of their tasks as an assignment to the Lord. That's what it means to be holy. Holy means to be set apart completely unto God, entirely unto God. Consecrated is just another word for holy. And since we'd already had communication and consideration instead of holiness, we said consecration. But that's so you can remember communication, consideration for one another, consecration being set apart as holy. And that's why we have family worship. That's why you ought to have private worship. That's why God has built into our weeks one day out of seven that is the day of worship. Because in everything else we are to be living sacrifices. This is a spiritual act of worship. Offering our bodies unto God so that everything in our whole lives, these worship times, forms in us to see everything in our lives as given from God, and our participation in it, our action in it, as an assignment for God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you for granting to us to hear it preached in the Lord's Day worship yesterday. We thank you for the opportunity to review it together as a family in the family worship time. We pray that you would cause it to take root in our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would work in us and make us like unto Christ, who is your eternal word, that we would be clear and plain and thorough and not deceptive in our communication with one another, that you would grant to us to prefer one another ahead of ourselves, the way the Lord Jesus became a man and died on the cross, so that we would do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And we do pray that this desire to love one another as ourselves would come from loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we would be consecrated, that we would be holy, that we would be entirely devoted unto you in all that we are, all that we have, all that we do. Grant this work of your Spirit in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, and your children here say, amen.
Amen.